And then if you go on down to verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And so these are the parts that we've to learn, to hear, and to do. And this is God speaking to every one of his people. God's people pledge with God, I will hear your word.
Thank you for joining with us again here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope yesterday's message was a soul-stirring word. And we come to part two today, and the subject is the importance of preaching, the value of the sermon in the worship of the Lord's great name. And this is a vital subject, because if we get away from a word-based worship, then it becomes human-centered, man's imagination, and it will no longer have the blessing of God. And so we earnestly seek to contend for this requirement and this need to exhort, preach, teach the Word of God in every worship service. God uses that Word to communicate to us, to commune with our hearts. He melts our hearts. He convicts us of our sins. He shows us our distance from Him, and He calls us to lean upon His promises and to stand upon His truth. And every time that we open the Bible, we read the Scriptures, we are called back to that personal, holy communion with the Lord our God. Now, here today to Let the Bible Speak, we want to intersperse that just a little bit. We have a verse on, as the heart panteth. This is the strong desire of the Christian to seek after God, and of course we will do so through His Word. So stay tuned with us right through the program. We'll give you all the details of our announcements at the end of the program.
Due to this understanding of the purpose of God to use preaching, we must respond to God's will and God's way by undertaking. First of all, for me, to Timothy, he was told, preach the word in season and out of season. But it's not working. Timothy, preach the word. But Lord, there's no people to preach to. Timothy, preach the word. And here comes, on the other side of the coin, to every believer, every worshiper, hear the word. It becomes an undertaking. It's an undertaking, of course, through our regeneration. You were born again by this Word of God. And when you were born again by this Word operating in your heart, creating faith in the Lord Jesus, a love of Christ and His truth, a hatred for the world and its sin, that Word now becomes your very food. You hunger for it. It's the result of the new birth. And if you're not hungry for the Word of God, can you be saved? Can you be born again? If you say, but it does nothing for me, then there's something deeply wrong with the human heart that says the preaching of the Word is not for me. We're told, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And there is a desire. Every living, born baby into this world is born with a hunger and a thirst. And likewise, every Christian that's born of the Spirit is hungry for that Word. Now, it's an undertaking also as covenant children, the people of God. Children are to obey the word of their father and be obedient to his voice. Covenant children, Christians, believers who are saved by this word, they bind themselves to the rule of their heavenly father. Now, when you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 1, I want you to let us look at this together. Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 1, You'll notice that there are three parts here to sermon hearing. Three parts. God has brought his people out of bondage, he has set them free, and he has given them his word. And in Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may, and then there's three things, that ye may learn them and keep and do. Now, this is God rehearsing his word now. The book of Deuteronomy is called the second law. It's given over again. And it's given because it's vitally important that they may learn, keep, and do. And then if you look at verse 15 of chapter 5, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And then if you go on down to verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And so these are the parts that we have to learn, to hear, and to do. And this is God speaking to every one of his people. God's people pledge with God, I will hear your word, and I will endeavor by God's grace to hear it that I might do it, put it to practice in my life. Now, this is the terms in which the Lord takes us as his people. These are the terms in which we are related to God and call ourselves covenant people, bound to God, and God is bound to us. But if we do not hear his word, if we turn away and don't hear his word, then we lose the very benefits and the blessings that God will bestow upon his own people. It's an undertaking also as members of the church. As members of the church, what are you saying? I believe that God has called me to be a member of this church, that this is the place where I am to hear his word, where I am to be fed and nourished and strengthened. It's also an undertaking between the pastor and people relationship. Now, going back to 2 Timothy 4 and Timothy being commissioned as the young pastor of this church, and Paul is saying to him, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. He is commissioning Timothy to do his work. Now, any people that are saying, we are taking this man as our pastor, we're going to come into this congregation as members of this church, and we're calling this man to be our pastor. What is the undertaking? We expect him to fill the pulpit. We don't want to be living all week. Will the preacher turn up this Sunday? Will there be a man to preach the word this Sunday? Where will he be? Likewise, there is an undertaking from any congregation. When we extend a call, an invitation to become the pastor of the church, to preach the word, you come and preach to us, and we will come and hear God's word. We will hear to learn and to do that word. And so it becomes a two-way relationship. And just as the people don't want to be wondering, where will the preacher be on Sunday? The pastor ought not to be wondering, where will the people be on Sunday? Will there be anyone to hear? Will there be anyone to take in God's word? Now, there are many parts to this relationship. It's a relationship of love, Christian love, fellowship, caring, entering into the burdens and the cares of God's people. But the people undertake to come and be shepherded. And Paul was saying to this Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season. And happy is that people who have a man to preach God's word. And happy is that pastor who have a people who long for the preaching of God's word. Now, it's an undertaking with a sense of responsibility also to our neighbor. Of course, the question is, who is my neighbor? Anyone under our influence. Fathers, mothers, your children, our extended family and friends, people in the community that need the gospel. And we want to have a place where the gospel is preached, where we can bring our family, where we can invite our friends, where we can witness in the street and say, I want you to come and hear the gospel. And this is an undertaking to our neighbor, and we're commanded to love our neighbor. And if we love the souls of men, if we want the very best of men's welfare, we'll want them to come and hear the preaching of God's word. And this is to be each Christian's burden. I want to have a place. I want to have a church. I want to have a ministry where I can invite my children to hear the gospel, that God will speak to their souls. I want to be able to invite my friends and my neighbors to come and hear this glorious gospel, and that it will be preached in a manner that it is true, that it is genuine, that it is Christ exalting, that it will be used of God to convert their souls. I need that confidence, and that ought to be our undertaking. And of course, this is the great need in our generation. The greatest thing that you can do for a man's soul is to bring them along to hear, and to hear that word as it's preached. Now, we also need to confess our desperate need for God's unction upon our preaching. So our sermon has three U's today. There is an understanding of what preaching is all about. There is an undertaking, both by the preacher and by the congregation. Then there is an unction that is so greatly required. Here is Timothy. He's a young man. He is called to the city of Ephesus. He is to preach in season and out of season. Is he fit for the task? Some will say, why Timothy? He's too young. He's too inexperienced. How will God use this man? Well, no man is fit for the task. There is no man who is fit for the work of preaching the word of God with power and with blessing, unless the Holy Spirit comes in power to move.
As pants the heart for glowing streams, when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, oh God, for thee, and thy refreshing
when God has worked throughout the life of His church, He moves by His Holy Spirit. God has given times of revival, times when the church was so dead and so cold and so formal and so lifeless that there was nothing there. And then God poured out His Spirit and transformed the church. I spoke about Martin Luther in the early days of his experience of preaching. There was such a hunger for the word and with such power. But even in his life, there were ups and downs. There were ebbs and flows. There were those times when it seemed that preaching was out of season. And then in the awakenings that God sent to various countries, through Wesleys and the Whitfields, Jonathan Edwards and others, the mighty times when God awoke his sleeping church to the great need of the gospel. What did God do? Didn't do anything different. It was not a new method. It was not a new style. It was the same preaching with unction. You read about the sermon and preaching of Jonathan Edwards, that famous sermon, The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You read of how that sermon was delivered by Edwards. He was, well, he had eyesight problems. He stood over the pulpit with his spectacle, and he read a manuscript. He was no dynamic preacher, but the power of God came down. And when he preached that message, there were people literally so moved, so convicted by the Holy Ghost, that they thought hell would open up and swallow them. Such was the deep, mighty power of conviction. Some of our men at the men's retreat saw a video of Duncan Campbell, his ministry in the Isle of Lewis, where God sent revival in 49 to 51. Duncan Campbell to this day, or at least till his dying day, contended he did not bring revival to the Isle of Lewis. Revival had already come to the island before he arrived. On the evening when he did arrive, people would not go home. They congregated in the churchyard, and they insisted that Duncan Campbell preach to them. God was already moving. There was an unction. There was an outpouring of God's power. Now, you might be asking today, is that biblical? Is that something we should be praying for and seeking? Well, let's turn to the book of Acts, please, to Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. Acts 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Now, I want you to put yourself into the exact situation that's going on here. Here is Peter preaching, and he says, as I began to speak, it wasn't an hour into the sermon. It wasn't the effect of Peter's logic. It wasn't the impression that he made with his power of storytelling or preaching. In the introduction of his message, at the very beginning, just as he began to speak, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Not upon the preacher. The Holy Ghost did not fall upon the preacher. The Holy Ghost fell upon the people. And they were moved. Now, this relates back to, well, what did he preach, first of all? Verse 13. And he showed us how they had seen an angel and in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell. Go back to chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. What is a sermon? A sermon is to move men to God. Why is it that it is while the man is speaking that the Spirit of God falls? Conviction begins to work because God uses truth. And as that truth is going out and being received, the Spirit of God illuminates, opens hearts and understanding, and a great miracle takes place in the human heart. That's preaching. That's what preaching is. Now, I have often asked you to pray for me. I need help to preach. I know my weakness. If ever I know my weakness, it's behind this pulpit. If I know my limitations, it's when I stand up to handle this book and speak to men about God's word. I need help, and I need God's power. And I believe that God helps. Otherwise, we could never even attempt it. But there's an aspect of preaching that must take place right where you're sitting, in your heart. That's what is required. And if that unction is not upon the preaching of the word, men will not be moved Godward. And if you come into church and leave the church service unmoved Godward, the sermon field, nothing happened. You're no more conscious of God. You're no more thoughtful of God. You're no more interested in serving God than when you come in. The sermon field. And what we read here of the Spirit of God falling on men, we have to say to some degree, not always to the same degree in every sermon, but in some degree, a work is done in the human heart, the believer's heart. How is this described? I want to turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. What is this preaching, this unction? 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us, as they did minister the things which are now reported unto them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's preaching, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And it brought them to the truth, and it brought them into the family of God, and it brought them to the place of surrender and turning unto Him. Now we need that unction. We need that unction in our preaching. If I can sum up here today, we do not need some new method. The temptation when preaching is out of season to go and try something different. The temptation is that we change, tweak, do something new. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. But we need an unction from God. Where does that unction come from? Heaven. It's the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And it certainly comes by the prayers of God's people. That Isle of Lewis revival was preceded by the prayer life of two women who were shut-ins, I think for many months even confined to bed. But they were women of prayer, and they prayed that God would visit the island with a breath of revival. I wonder, will you pray for the power of God in the preaching of God's word? Yes, pray that the preacher becomes a better preacher, that he preaches better sermons. Pray for that with all your heart. But pray that as the preacher speaks, that the Holy Ghost will work, that from seat to seat and heart to heart, that word will take root. Minds will be opened. Sin will be dealt with. The love of the world will be hated, and Christ will be received. That's grace at work through this whole matter of preaching. I was to ask how many people here today were saved through the preaching of God's word. I guarantee would have a vast majority. I could probably count on two hands the number of people I've met that were saved without the preaching of God's word. God can save people through His word directly. There are cases of that. But the vast, vast majority of people, they are born again by the preaching of the word. And what men call foolishness, God calls the power of God to them that believe, the preaching of the cross. So I call you today to a higher appreciation of the sermon, preaching. I call you to pray about it earnestly. Where does the famine for the word of God begin in a church? Well, it really begins in the prayer meeting, when there's no one there to pray for the preaching of God's word. And brothers and sisters, I will not be a happy pastor until I see you in the prayer room of our church. Pray. I can't be a happy pastor while you're a prayerless hearer of God's word. I can't. I can't say it's all right to be absent from the prayer meetings of the church. I can't. Because we are in desperate, desperate need of the unction of God upon the preaching of God's word. And you're a part of it. You can't say, I'm just an observer. I'm just here dropping in. You're a part of it. If this is your church home where you come to feed on the word of God for the good of your soul, if you come to hear, then you need that unction. And you need to be a prayer warrior in this congregation. I call upon you earnestly. And I, by God's grace, endeavor to obey this commission as was given to Timothy. Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. I intend to do it by God's grace. But you have an undertaking here. You have an undertaking. I'm going to hold you to it. Paul said to Timothy, if you notice the verse prior, verse 1, just prior to that statement that he gave to him, that he brought him right, that one day will stand before the judge. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I'm going to stand before God as my judge. Ian, did you preach the word in season and out of season? And you, as a member or adherent of this congregation, will give answer. Did you support the preaching of the word? Did you pray for it? Did you realize the importance of the whole ministry of preaching? Or do you think, oh, that's just church. That's just the way things are. That's the way it's done. No. We're going to give account how we heard. Back to Deuteronomy. To learn, to hear, to do. That's God's covenant arrangement with us. We must fulfill it. We must fulfill it.
Thank you. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.